We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah!
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And next to me, I have my partner in crime, as it were, Matt Clark. Matt, do you want to tell people where you're from?
Yes, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I'm from Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
And, of course, our tagline for this particular show, Wrestling with the Basics, is we put the fun in the fundamentals. But we're going to kind of be serious for today's show because we have a very serious topic that we're going to be tackling and a very sad and kind of tragic anniversary that was celebrated this last week. So, Matt, I'm going to kind of turn things over to you because you've actually been focusing on this in your worship and in your Bible study there at Waterloo. So tell us what it is we want to talk about today.
So really, today we're recording on January the 22nd, which just happens to be the 40th anniversary of that landmark court decision, Roe versus Wade. Probably the most famous court decision here in the United States, I would imagine, that made abortion on demand legal for all practical purposes here in America. And so at our congregation, at least Emmanuel, we took this opportunity to celebrate Life Sunday, to focus on abortion, but also just life in general and those life issues, and especially the sanctity of human life according to God's Word. So that's something that we celebrated and well, focused on more than celebrate, I suppose. And I think something that many churches across the United States probably focused on this past weekend as well.
And you know, I understand they're the kind of uncomfortable with talking about celebrating because, of course, the tragedy is that there's been millions and millions of lives that have been lost since that court decision. And yet, I think celebrate probably is still a good word because we don't want to focus on the negative. We don't want to become the church of the no. But what we really are concerned about is the positive, the gift of life, the sanctity of life, as you said. And that is a wonderful blessing that God has given us. And that is something that we need to celebrate. Probably that's the sad thing in our nation. We've become more of a nation of death. And we forgot that life is a great blessing God has given us. It is something we should celebrate and treasure day in and day out.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good place to start. I think that's an excellent point. When we talk about life issues, I think we don't just rail against abortion, but maybe the starting place should be the value of human life and how important that is. Because if human life isn't valuable, if it's not something that's precious in God's sight, then go ahead and have an abortion. But if it is something valuable, if human life is special, if it is important, then no, that's not what God's intends. So to destroy that life in any way, whether inside the womb or outside of it, in that way. So anyway, Let's start there. Why don't we start with looking at what God has to say about life itself?
Where do you want to go?
For now, I just want to discuss a little maybe about Genesis.
Oh, and right. Okay,
if you want to turn there, you can. But if not, you can just
I pretty well
go from memory.
That story,
got to know the account. Okay, very good. Well, when we look at life, I think a good place to start is that Genesis account. Because we believe, we confess, the Bible teaches Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that all life was created by God. All life, even still today, is created by God. God has a hand in it. But as we look through that account of creation, we also see that in the first few chapters of Genesis, God creates man and woman in a very special way.
Yes.
That's just remarkable. He speaks light into being. He speaks creation into being. But when he gets to man, it appears as though he slows down and gives it that personal touch. We hear about how...
Literally.
Yeah, isn't it nice? Literally
the personal touch.
Yeah, it's beautiful. God takes time to form Adam out of the dust of the ground. He literally breathes the breath of life, that spirit, into his nostrils.
And that's what's new, because the word there for breath is ruach, which can either mean breath, wind, or
spirit.
Yeah, so literally, like you say, spiritizes him, gives him his spirit,
Yeah, and then it's same for the woman. Yeah, he spends special time with creating Eve as well. Takes that rib out of man, from man, and creates Eve. And he physically takes his time with them. He physically gives them that personal touch, as we said. But then also, spiritually too speaking, we hear that God creates them in his own image.
Ah, yeah.
And really, that's not really
male
said
and
of.
Male and female.
Male and female. Distinctly male, distinctly female, in his own image. That image of God. And that's not really said of the other creations. The creatures.
No.
The things that creep along the ground, or the birds of the air, the fish of the sea.
Although I really do appreciate the fact that you did emphasize the fact that all life did come from God. Special things about men and women, which of course is greater concern to us. But yeah, the creeping creatures, the birds, I mean, it's detailed, specifically these different kind of creatures, and all of them are coming at the instigation of God and his word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet. And I think it's good to recognize that. It's good to recognize that he did that at creation, but it's also important to recognize that it's not as though God did all that work, you know, 6 days of creation, and then he just kind of checked out. You know, we're on our own. That's it. Because some do believe that deists and deism teaches that, but that's not the case.
Oh, yeah, the master clockmaker.
Yeah.
He made it, wound it up, and then just, but no, that isn't a biblical picture. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So today he cares about us. He sustains all life, even today as well. And he creates life today as well. And we especially think, as we celebrate Life Sunday, as we think about these issues, how he still creates life in the womb. And I think one of the verses in the scripture that really touches on that is in the Psalm 139, especially verses 13 and 14 really talk about that.
Give me a second here. I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, Matt. I think that the psalm writer just does a beautiful job of praising the Lord for the way that he's been made and formed and put together.
Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Want me to keep reading,
thank you. No, I think that's good. We could go on, but I mean, those words alone are I think will work. They're just beautiful, this imagery of being knit together by the Lord himself, being fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, it's almost as though it's describing God as an artist, as a craftsman here, forming the individual in the womb and making them that unique creation that God intends them to be. It's just, you see the love here too, I think, that God takes with each individual to form them, to create them, to make them who he intends them to be.
And I read once, Matt, you know, talking about the language here, the idea of the knitting together, and then actually the next verse talks about I was woven, and the scientists say that the DNA molecules that now they've been able to kind of, I don't know how they do it, science are smart. We're a couple of dumb guys, so this is what smart guys, but that it looks like it's knitting, doesn't it? The way that that's all intertwined and everything, like the words woven and knitting fit perfectly what we know about our origins. And again, as distinctly human, because this DNA we have, it ain't going to end up being anything else. That's the only thing it can be. Yeah.
You bet. Yeah, that is kind of neat. We literally look knit together when you look at that smaller scale. And, you know, thinking of that, related to that, I think another important thing to talk about is when does life actually begin?
Okay.
Because I think that really shapes the discussion that we have on abortion, just to recognize when life begins. And I really think, again, going back to science, like you mentioned, that Scripture and science are in agreement on this, when life begins. If we think about the Scriptures, when, according to Scriptures, the Bible, does life begin?
Well, it says here, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. So it certainly has to begin before we're actually born, that there's life going on even inside the womb, as it were.
Yeah, so life doesn't begin at birth. No, it's before that. We're alive. We're individuals before then. I think of Psalm 51, how that Psalm of David, he says that he's sinful from the birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Yeah.
So they're already a distinct life, even at conception, but then also even someone who's in need of a Savior, according to David, at conception. So life beginning at conception, but that's what the Bible would say, but I think that's also what science would say, too. Science would recognize that when that egg and sperm come together, there's this unique individual life, already cells dividing and multiplying, and it's already there, conception, that God is weaving that person, making them his special, unique individual.
And you know, that's what's kind of crazy in this particular issue, because, yeah, there was a time that scientists, being influenced again by the overall methodology of evolution, thought that in the womb, you know, first we were some kind of crude embryo, and then we became a more reptile-like, and then from there we became more amphibian, and then, you know, and this is how there were pictures, actually. Of course, no one actually saw anything because they weren't actually photographing the stuff inside
the womb.
This is
artist rendering.
Yeah, artist rendering. And but, yeah, well, that's what we believe, because it's evolution. Naturally, it makes sense. We'd go through all of these evolutionary changes. And now, of course, we realize, no, that's not it at all.
Yeah.
That, as you said, from the very beginning, it is human, and it's always human, and it never is anything other than human. Although, you know, the real tragedy is we know that because of abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's how that Life magazine years ago had that powerful portrayal of the child inside the womb, and what they never told you in those very, very powerful pictures, where you could look and say, wow, this is a child here, even when it's just a few weeks old or whatever. Yeah, those were all because these were aborted fetuses that they had taken pictures of. So it's kind of a sad way that we came to know that. But, yeah, you're right. Science agrees this is always human life, and it ain't anything else.
Yeah, and, I mean, no surprise here for us Christians, I think, that science backs up what the Bible says. It shows it that it's true. The Word of God is true. But it's amazing to me how far science has progressed now. For instance, now they can do fetal surgery. They can have you seen pictures of that even?
Yes,
they can do surgery inside the womb, even in the second trimester, which just baffles me that this during the second trimester, the same time when the same child could have been aborted, the same child can be operated on to save the child's life and to help that child.
One of our Matt was actually vicar at our congregation for a year before that. We had field workers, and one of our field workers, his little child had a heart problem, I think a hole in the heart, and they actually did that surgery, like you said, before the child was born. So when the child was born, whole and healthy,
yeah. But thanks be to God. That's wonderful.
Yep, that's amazing.
So I think it's undeniable. It's pretty obvious life begins at conception at this point. So perhaps a bigger issue here isn't when life begins, but I think when we talk about abortion, the question is, when does someone become a person? Not when does life begin. I think that's been pretty well established. But when does personhood begin?
Yeah.
When is someone really that distinct person of value, of worth? When does that take place? Because I think some abortion supporters argue that, well, you know, there is life there, but it's just not quite as valuable as someone outside the womb. They're so little, they're an embryo, they're a fetus, they're not quite that child, that person yet. But I think, again, we would affirm as Christians, no, they are people. They are persons. They're individuals. And I think proof of that is, again, like Psalm 139 that you read, that these are individuals who are loved by God, woven together by God. They're not just this mash of tissue or just this potential person, but they are a person loved by Him. So what one thing I did this Life Sunday for the children's message was, just to kind of illustrate this for kids, was I took my own shoe, and then I took my son's shoe, and I took my daughter's shoe, which they always love it when I do stuff like this without asking them.
I can see. Oh, you didn't ask your kids. You just sprung this on them.
They're young enough where they think that's still kind of cool.
That's cool.
That dad's holding their shoe up in front of the church.
But if I come to your church, please don't ask for my shoe. I'm just telling you right now. But go ahead.
And then the smallest thing I brought, though, was one of those little pins where it has the infant's feet on the pin.
Okay.
It's a 10-week-old child, 10 weeks old from conception, that is. So these tiny little feet. And the whole point was, you know, hold up my own shoes. Does God love someone whose feet are this big? Well, yeah. Does God?
I don't know. Really? Your feet are pretty
even
big.
This big.
I guess
believe
so.
It or not.
Yeah.
Me and Bozo the Clown. God still loves us. But then, you know, I held up the kid's shoes. Does God love someone whose foot fits in these shoes? Oh, of course. No, does God love someone whose feet are this small?
You know, yeah.
Teeny tiny, not even an inch long. Well, yeah, of course. And that's the truth, that God loves each one of us. Which one does He love more?
God
loves us all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and He sent His Son Jesus.
Wouldn't that be scary if it was based on the size of our feet?
Yeah.
That would be... Poor Shaq.
Yeah. Either God loves him a whole heck of a lot, or maybe not so much. It depends on how you look at it. But anyway. But the point being, Regardless of our size, God loves us. Well, you know, the old line from Horton, here's a who.
Yeah.
You know, the Dr. Seuss book. I don't think Dr. Seuss intended that to be a pro-life book necessarily, but Horton the Elephant at one point says, a person's a person no matter how small.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point. Well put, Horton. A person's a person no matter how small. And even inside the womb, a person is a person, even if they're teeny tiny and those feet are less than an inch long, 10 weeks after conception. Yeah. So anyway, but yet abortion is still this reality in our world today. Some numbers, I guess, to kind of put that in perspective. I mean, this is kind of sad, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show. But yet, you know, I think it's important to recognize after 40 years of Roe versus Wade and abortion being legalized, you said we kind of have a culture of death, and I would agree. I mean, abortion providers, abortion mills, clinics, whatever you want to call them.
See, that's what's sad. There's within driving money, distance. A lot of money being
made.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. I know. We had a... At the seminary, one of my classes here, someone came in who actually worked at an abortion clinic and talked to us about that. And they just couldn't take it any longer. They quit. But you're right. Money to be made there. You know, no doubt about it. Planned Parenthood and others are money makers. And from what I understand, the later the child is along in the pregnancy, the more money you get or you have to pay to have it done.
So that's kind of sad.
Yeah. So we've got that, and then we've got, you know, the morning after pill. You can take it at home, and now we have this some of this new healthcare stuff. We're wondering how that's going to work out and if some employers are going to have to provide abortion-producing drugs. So we'll see how that plays out. But just some of the numbers, too. Every day in America, it's 3,200 children who are aborted.
How many? Repeat
3,200. 3,200.
In one day.
In one day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, to put that into perspective, that's more people than were killed in the terrible of September 11th terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
Every day that's happening. So if you put all those numbers together, and over the past 40 years, that comes up to 54 million abortions. Just here in the United States. And again, that number is just hard for us to wrap our minds around. There was an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine in January that helped to put that in perspective. And the way they put it was, it's like killing every man, woman, and child in just about every Midwest state in our country. Or it's like killing the entire population of the country of Spain. Actually, it's a little more than
goodness.
That.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I mean, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, because that number is so big. See, and there's where it gets crazy. We're talking about that we really can't even grasp that.
Yeah.
But so it's just overwhelming. Overwhelming.
Yeah. It is. Another statistic I came across, according to the National Abortion Federation, they say that a total of 35% of women in America today who are childbearing age either will have had or will have an abortion before age 45.
Oh, my goodness.
I found that staggering.
That is. That's hard. That's
almost
one in
a third
three.
Of women.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, which is incredible. And
actually, it's more than a third.
Yeah, a little over a third. It's even worse.
Because otherwise, I'd be getting flack from my wife, who's the mathematician. Yeah, because 33% would be a third, so 35, yeah.
Try to put the best construction up. But, yeah. Lynn,
no,
yes,
you're right.
35%.
It's sad to think that one in three. Yeah. Although now I'm going to be the skeptic here because I don't know. That thing, you know, I think probably where you end up with that kind of statistic is because you forget there's probably women that are having two or three
multiple
abortions.
I would want to look into that too.
Yeah.
But I think you're right.
Regardless, it's still a tragedy.
It's a lot.
It's a sadness. And to think that these lives here, and who know how they could have prospered and could have benefited and been a blessing. And here's the thing that scares me, Matt. So not only do we wipe out that generation, but we wiped out the generations that would have come from those people, too.
Yeah.
You know, the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids, and now that's all been changed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking as someone my age, Matt Youngblood Clark over here, for my entire life, abortion has been legal. I've never
Isn't
known a time in America when that hasn't been the law of the land.
I've never even thought about that.
And so for me, when I look at that number, I'm a little resentful, actually, because, I mean, if we want to say a third, that could have meant my graduating high school class could have been a third bigger.
Yeah.
You know, I think of different things like, there could be a third more high schoolers in my congregation right now hearing the word of God. There's people that I could have been friends with or coworkers with that I'm not going to be because they're not here.
They're
they
not
were
here.
Aborted.
Yeah.
So it is tragic, and You know, but yet, that's the sad reality over the past 40 years.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I think we need to recognize, too, is just because abortion is legal here in America, that doesn't make it right.
No.
I think there's sometimes that temptation. If something's legal, you get away with it, the government says it's okay, then it's okay. But no, that's not the case. Yeah, you can legally have an abortion, but that doesn't mean it's morally right or ethically right. And certainly, as we already looked at some of these passages, that's according to God, in His word, abortion isn't right.
No. And that, of course, is the thing we struggle with. I know there are people that are fighting to get some things reinstated and everything, but I like the point you're making there, Matt. Although I'm not against those kind of efforts, I think, frankly, that'll never happen. But that does not change, then, the mission and the purpose of the church to say, look, this is still not God-pleasing.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's always struck me on this issue is, how in any framework could you think that it is God-pleasing? Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you want to argue about personhood, even if you want to talk about the origins of life, although, like you say, even scientifically, you can't debate those things.
Yeah.
But the fact is, how could you ever see this as an act of love to take this child? You know,
you bet.
And especially with my family, I have a daughter that they've adopted two children. Thank God for that. But they so desperately want children. There's all kinds of people. So even if you can say, well, I don't really think I'm capable, I cannot raise this child. All right. Yeah, it's going to be hard. No one's saying that it isn't. And again, maybe this is where the church needs to step up and say, hey, we want to be of service and of help and to care for the people that want to keep their children. But man, there's plenty of people out there that are ready and eager to adopt these children and would give them good homes.
You bet. I mean, you think about those couples that struggle to have children. They're just wanting that, desiring it so much. And then they see these people have abortions and multiple ones.
Yeah, but, and multiples over and over again. And so.
So, I mean, I think we'd say it's abortion is a sin against the fifth commandment. You shall not murder.
Oh, definitely.
Again, the meaning of that is you shall not hurt. You don't want to. We should not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, and that's our littlest neighbor. Really, is the unborn.
I like that. Yeah, the littlest neighbor.
So, I mean, we want to get to the gospel here too, though, because
because
especially if a woman has had an abortion or has been affected by one in some way, or even a man has been affected by abortion too. There is forgiveness. We recognize, it's a sin. We don't want to beat around the bush there. We want to recognize what God's word says. But God's word also says that there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness for all sins, including that sin of abortion. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all sin, including the sin of abortion and the burdens that come along with that. And so I just like to encourage people, too, if you do feel that burden and you have that sorrow over that sin, go and talk to your pastor if you have a pastor, really.
Yeah.
And if you doubt that you are forgiven through Jesus Christ and his blood shed on the cross, let your pastor talk with you and really announce those words of forgiveness specifically for you, because they are for you. Again, I think those words of 1 John put it well. When we say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's for any of us. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful unto us, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that includes a cleansing from abortion, too.
And I think that's the thing as a church we have to realize, too. We don't want abortion is, of course, a big concern because it's so much in the news and there's been so many changes that have happened on that issue that we really feel like we need to speak out against it. But at the same time, as a church, we need to not make that some kind of special category of sin. Yeah, it is, as you said, a sin, but it is with all sins, God does offer love and forgiveness and restoration. And maybe if we can get that message out, those people that are debating and thinking about it, maybe we'll choose not to do that
you
on the
bet.
Basis of God's love and forgiveness for them. Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you for
you're
sharing
welcome.
That with
and,
us.
You know, just as we leave, I would, like you said, abortion may not be illegal within our lifetime, but I think we can work to help make it unthinkable as Christians.
I think the change is coming. I've looked at the statistics, and I think this new generation, your generation, and the generation now that's coming after you, they have a different feeling about that than maybe my generation. So things are getting better.
We hope so. But we're not alone in this, and the Lord's on our side, too.